God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And it's not really all that common to have two readings about parties on the same day. Certainly there's stories about banquets and marriages and other events that happen in the lives of folks, both in biblical times and now. But if you've spent any time at all with the Old Testament, you surely know that stories about parties are not very common. And if they are, they're more akin to the party thrown by King Herod than the one of King David. In our reading, the event described is never really actually referred to as a party, but it is. It's certainly a celebration, so much so that David loses himself in the fervor and acts like a fool, at least according to his wife, Michal, the daughter of Saul. As a matter of fact, after the good people of Israel went home happily with their cake of bread, portion of meat, and cake of raisins, Michal pretty much told David off. That part was conveniently left out of our readings today, along with the fact that Michal remained childless all her life, which is linked in this story with the fact that she dared question the behavior of David. The other event that is conveniently left out of our reading today, that is also very important, is the demise of Uzzah. In our reading, we hear that Uzzah and Ahio have gotten a new cart for the ark, and we're driving it. When one is transporting something as holy as the ark of God, one must use a brand new cart and use extreme caution. You wouldn't pick up the Archbishop of Canterbury in an old junker, and you don't transport God in an old cart. Only the best will do. So Uzzah and his brother Ahio get a new cart, put the ark on it very gingerly and respectfully, and they head for David's house. Along the way, just past the threshing floor of Nacon, the oxen get a little frisky, the cart rocks unsteadily, and along with it, the ark of God. Uzzah, using extreme care and caution, reaches back to steady the ark of God and is immediately struck dead. And because nothing is understood to happen at this time that is not directly related to the will of God, God is blamed for the death of Uzzah. Why? No one knows. Because it seems a really good thing to be so careful with the ark of God that one would want to make sure that it's stable and secure, but here Uzzah is dead. So God must not be happy with him. And this does not make David very happy with God. David refuses to take the ark home. He doesn't want this box of death in his house. If God would strike Uzzah dead for merely trying to stabilize the tipsy ark, what on earth would he do to David when he saw him with another man's wife? Not that David had actually planned that event yet, but you get the point. David knew he was not perfect, and having something as dangerous as this box was not something that he wanted. So the ark then took a detour. It went to the house of Obed-Edom, and that's where our reading picks up today. While at the home of Obed-Edom, the ark of God caused no destruction or doom. As a matter of fact, Obed-Edom prospered. He prospered greatly while the ark resided in his care. And this news was brought back to David. And so if the ark of God is now bringing prosperity and goodness, not death and destruction, David wants it back. It seems that prosperity gospel goes back a long, long way. I only want God around if God will bring me good and prosperity. Now that the ark is proving to be beneficial, David goes to get it, and he is happy. He is so happy that he dances and sings, and musical instruments are played. The mood is celebratory, and the celebration is loud and out of control. David seems to have become a whirling dervish, totally uninhibited whirling dervish, and all for the worship and love of God. I worked with a priest once who reminds me of David in many ways. He would don wild costumes and say the craziest things, things that would sometimes embarrass him or make him look downright loony. He called this erratic and odd behavior being a fool for Jesus, and it worked. People loved his willingness to be a fool for Jesus. And people loved joining in the God celebration with David. At least most of them did. There were still those doubters, those naysayers, like his wife, that didn't understand that God wants us to celebrate our life and our Lord, not bemoan him. The other party we have today is one that is no way based on worshiping God, but on worshiping one's self. It ends dreadfully. This is a way of things and celebrating self. Herod and his bigwig buddies are inviting a lot. They get out of control, but not in the way that David did. David was high on God. These guys are high on themselves, their own importance, the fruit of the vine, and the enticement of a beautiful young dancing woman. All of this adds up to trouble. And trouble is exactly what happens. Because Herod's inflated self-image and lack of control, he makes a promise that costs John the Baptizer his life. This is a sad state of affairs. This pathetic despot allows a man to be beheaded because he made a showy promise that he now must fulfill to keep his honor. The ironic piece of this is that in keeping his presumed honor in a moment, he loses it for all the time. Two kings, two parties and two kings who could not be more different. David goes wild with joy. He is in worship-induced euphoria, caught up in the moment, slain in the spirit even. Herod is caught up in his own power and makes rash promises that cost John the Baptist his life, and later calls Herod to worry that the same man he has executed has returned to get his revenge. And there are all those other players in this drama as well. Michal, the judgmental; Herodias, the manipulator; Uzzah, the one who thought he was doing the right thing but was struck down; John, the fiery-tongued baptizer, who made the powers that be very uncomfortable, so much so that it cost him his life. Which one are you?